A lot of times when you have a service like this, people wonder what's happening. And what I can tell you, for those of you that are listening, we had our praise and worship, but then it just continued to flow for quite a period of time. And you're not hearing that, or you haven't heard that on the recording, and that's okay. I'm just telling you what happened. And if you are born again, there's no way that you could not have sensed the presence of the Lord unless you have really seared your conscience. Because His presence has been very strong here in this place. And as we were standing here and worshiping, the Lord really impressed upon me that at times like this, He's working. Quite often we don't feel what He's doing. In fact, rarely do we feel what He's doing. Really, I could almost go so far as to say we never feel what He's doing. We never know what He's doing, because He shared with me that when He's working like this, He's working on us in a spiritual level. And His work in us is not dependent upon an emotion we feel. In other words, just because I may not feel Him doing something in me, He's still doing it. He's still doing it. And the proof of it, the evidence of it, will eventually come forth. And it's interesting that this service went the direction it did, because the Lord impressed upon me to minister on praise, worship. And as I do, I'll be using those words interchangeably, so don't think that I'm, well, He said praise this time, and He said worship this time, and what's He talking about? Same thing. For the sake of this teaching, same thing. We had a word that came forth, a prophecy here, several months ago. And in this prophecy, one of the things that the Lord shared is that there are some of you who have let your praise slip. You've let your worship slip. Meaning, you are not as focused on it as you used to be. There was a time when you weren't very focused at all, but then the Lord began to move and you began to yield to His move in your life. So you began to focus more on praise and worship and you were more involved, but then that began to dwindle. And the proof of that for some is the fact that for a while you were coming up front and worshiping, but now you've backed off. Now, there's nothing magical about coming up front. There's not a greater anointing here than back there in the pews. However, coming up here, it really helps to keep you focused. And you knew that when you were up here. You knew that. But you've begun to, over time, you've let it slip. When I'm praising the Lord and worshiping Him, I keep my eyes closed just about all the time. What's interesting is that I cannot recall anywhere in Scripture where there is anything about, with my eyes closed, I will praise You. But the reason I do it is to establish a place of solitude with the Lord, even when I'm in the midst of a congregation. I'm aware of You, but at the same time, I want to stay focused on Him. And when I come up front and I'm standing here, very often my head is bowed a little bit, or sometimes, you know, my head is up, but my eyes are generally always closed. And I'll just tell you why. It's because I don't want to be distracted by those. No. I don't want to face the potential of being distracted by those who will not worship. And I will go so far as to say, I find it borderline offensive that you won't worship God at a time like this, when we have, in any service, when the opportunity is there. Now, I'm not saying that to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm not saying that. But when we have this kind of an opportunity, why in the world wouldn't you want to take advantage of it? It's very simple. And I'm going to be sharing some things here with you about praise, and I'll just give you a heads up. It's going to continue next week, and the week after, and the week after, and the week after, however long the Lord wants. And I can promise you right now, as I'm standing here, the day may come that some people may think, good glory to God, another sermon on praise. And you are the very person who needs to hear it. Because those who are edified through praise and worship are going to say, glory to God, another exhortation on an experience with Jesus. And they're going to receive it. And therein lies the difference. You cannot get bored hearing truth unless you are cool in your relationship with Jesus. It's just the way it works. Now, I want to tell you a story. It's about a church up in Sydney, Ohio. And Kathy and I have actually been in that church. Many years ago, after we first got married, the church we attended, the choir, we were part of the choir in that church. We actually went to that church at least once. There may have been other occasions as well, and we sang in that church. Well, back in 1981, this church, it was an Assemblies of God church. It may still be Assemblies of God, I'm not sure. But back in 1981, this church was a mess, an absolute mess. And I don't mean physically, structurally, I mean it had dwindled down to about 20 people. The pastor had resigned, and I don't know why. I don't know that there was any sin at all. It just, he resigned, or maybe he got transferred to another church. I'm not sure. But the church didn't have a pastor. And so the district superintendent and others in leadership in the denomination, they were going to close the church. But the district superintendent was praying, and the Lord brought to mind somebody that he knew, and so he called this other man, this pastor, and he said, look, I know you're currently pastoring in this other state. Yeah, he was actually down in North Carolina. He said, I know you're pastoring in North Carolina, but, you know, we have a church here. It's in Sydney, Ohio, and the pastor in North Carolina was from Ohio, and he really wanted to come back to Ohio. So as soon as the district supervisor mentioned it was in Ohio, immediately this other pastor is kind of perked up, and he's thinking, okay, well, yeah. But the district supervisor told him, he said, look, you need to know some things about this church. They have problems, and it's a bad situation. It's down to about 20 people. The last board meeting, during the last board meeting, two of the board members literally got into a fist fight. He said, it is a bad situation. We're thinking of closing it, but if you want to, we will let you come and pastor it. And this man said, absolutely. He said, I'll take it. And he said, you know, I don't really know that I prayed too much about that. I just wanted to get back to Ohio. But anyway, he accepted that pastorate, and he went there in June of 1981. And sure enough, when he got there, yeah, it was a mess, an absolute mess. But he stood up and he began sharing with the people, and he said, this church is going to change. There are going to be things different. This church is going to grow. It's going to become what God wants, and so on and so forth. And there were people in the church. Remember now, it was down to about 20, and there were people in the church who thought he was nuts, thought he was crazy, it's not going to happen, this is a disaster, you know, just close it and everybody move on and so forth. He said, no, we're going to go forward. And what he did, he began teaching on praise. And he kept teaching on praise, week after week after week after week. And it wasn't just a matter of him teaching on singing songs, but it was a matter of teaching them to praise, to open up and praise the Lord, especially in that area of what we would refer to here as free worship. Some call it spontaneous worship. Some would call it may open praise. I mean, whatever the term you like. And he said, you know, for so long, it was just my wife, me, and our two daughters, we were basically the only ones in that church praising, and people looked at us like we were insane. But we kept doing it. We kept doing it. We kept doing it. And he kept teaching on it. And a breakthrough came. There came a point when the people in the congregation began to understand what he was saying. They didn't fully comprehend the magnitude of it, but they began to understand this is something we should do. And this pastor, by the way, he used tons of scripture to share about these things. And so people began to praise, and people began to praise. By the time December of 81 rolled around, that church had grown from 20 to 120 people. They had 25 members of the praise team, singers and musicians, all different kinds of musicians. And it continued to grow. And in January of 82, it was a cold January, and they had a Sunday where it was particularly cold. Well, in between the morning service and the evening service, the furnace went out. So the pastor showed up at the church, it was, I don't know the actual temperature, but he said it was bad cold. So he's standing there at the door of the church. They had electricity and all, but the furnace was out. And as the people were coming in for the evening service, he's standing there at the front door and has his coat on and all. And he said, "Folks, I'm sorry, the furnace is out, so, you can just go back home." But the people wouldn't go back home. They just walked right by him and just kept going into the church. And some made the comments, "Pastor, we want to stay. We'll keep our coats on, but we want to stay and we want to praise the Lord. We want to praise the Lord." So, and he said, the crowd was smaller than normal because there were some people who stayed home because of the cold, and I understand that. But they went ahead and had service, and he said, that service went on and on and on because the people wanted to praise the Lord. They wanted to. And by the, I forget how many years he was there, but that church eventually grew to around 300 people. And there was such a change in that church that the district supervisor for the Assemblies of God and others in leadership began to call and say, "What are you doing?" Because we were going to close that church. And they wanted to know, "What kind of programs have you been implementing in that church to get it to grow?" And he began he told him, he said, "Look, we didn't go out and buy a bunch of buses. We don't have buses running through the city. And we don't have any church growth programs and all of this other." He said, "The only thing we've done," he said, we haven't even gone door to door. We haven't done any of that. He said, "The only thing that I have done is teach on praise. I've taught on praise. That's it." And the people began to grab a hold of the praise, and the power of that praise brought about a transformation in the people, then in the church. Do you understand what I mean by that? Well, the people are the church. I understand that. But you've got to have the change in the people before it manifests within the collective congregation of the church. And the praise began to change the people. And the people, there were people who did not, they didn't praise before. They flat out didn't do it. But over time, they began to see this. They began to capture it. They began to be impacted by it. They began to understand the value. And so they began to praise. They began to worship. They began to engage in this. And the change took place in them. And then the change began taking place as a congregation. And as it took place as a congregation, it literally became like a magnet. And people started coming in. Word of mouth, our church, come and just whatever happened. But people started coming in, and the church grew, and the church grew, and the church grew. And I can remember when Kathy and I went up there with the choir of the church we were attending here in Dayton. I remember when we were there, I thought, "Man, this is a great church." Well, at that time, I didn't know the history because it hadn't been a great church. It had been the kind of church that a lot of people wouldn't want, and a lot of people would leave, and a lot of people did leave. But praise made the difference. See, a lot of churches can have, your bus programs, your door-to-door programs. You can have your various forms of outreach. You can have TV. You can be on the radio. You can do all of those things. But see, those kind of things may not be God's will for every church. However, praise is God's will for every single church. And the truth of the matter is, more emphasis in general has been placed on what can we do to make the church grow as opposed to what can we do so that we grow. And this is where you end up with all of these programs and all of these seminars and how to grow your church. And they want to present all these different things that you can do. Well, you need to have a mass mailing to reach your community. And all of those things can have a place. And God can instruct the church to do those things. However, just because you did it at your church doesn't mean that it's going to work in our church. It may not be what God wants us to do, but there is one thing that is universal for every single church that names the name of Jesus Christ, and that is praise. Every single church. No exception. All churches can sing, but not all churches worship. Not all churches praise. This church here, when we walk out the doors of our church and we look across the street, we see an empty field. Well, it's empty because they use it to grow crops. I understand that. But this church is not hidden. This church is not hidden. And it is not hard to find. It's not. This church is not, it's not 2 miles down some one-lane road in the back end of some housing development that's hidden by a forest. Now that one might be hard to find. This church is not hard to find. Absolutely not. It's easy to give directions to find this church. Very easy. It's not difficult. And there are cars, hundreds of cars drive by this church every week. Hundreds of them drive by. Over and over and over again. There are a lot of people who know where this church is. There are times where I've talked with people and they ask about, what do you do? And I'm a pastor. Really? Well, where's your church? And I tell them where the church is. Oh, yeah, I know where that is. Now, some people, they're not familiar with the area, but if they want to come here, hey, no problem. We can give you directions. It's easy to find. It's easy to find this church. I realize we could be in a more highly visible location and praise God, if that day comes. But this is not a hidden building. It's not. It's not that hard to find. The whole concept of praise, and what led into this this morning, just this whole atmosphere that was here, it was almost like God was giving everybody an opportunity to enter into a time of fellowship with Him. Almost like He's saying, I'm here. Do you want what I have to offer? Do you want it? And if you want it, you can have it. You can receive it because I'm not going to hold anything back from any of you. I know every one of your hearts and I know what you need and I know what you need right now, this moment. So if you want what I'm offering, I will give it to you, but you must receive it, and the way that you receive it right now is through your worship, through your praise. So how many people here this morning did that? I didn't look. I stood here with my head down and my eyes closed. I wasn't even tempted to look out because I didn't want to know. And you know why? Because I knew what I was going to teach on, and I didn't want to stand here thinking, I know what you weren't doing. Yeah, I know what you should have been doing, and you weren't doing it. You understand what I mean? So I don't know who did what. Glory to God. And I don't want to know. But you see, one of the things that that the Lord has been impressing upon me is that, I've taught on praise and worship in the past. And quite frankly, it's some of the best teaching on praise and worship you'll hear anywhere, from anybody, ever. Not because I'm so great, but because God's Word is great. And I shared with you from the Word of God. And that teaching that went forth had the potential to change lives as people would receive it and apply it to their lives. Some did, some didn't. Some, you've ebbed and flowed. You know, like the waves on the sea, you know, crashing in and then they go back out and then come back in. Some of you have been like that. There's been a tremendous amount of inconsistency in your praise. How are you going to make progress in that? One of the things that the Lord showed me this morning during praise and worship, it was just a brief, instantaneous moment vision. You know how you watch the old westerns and they have those forts built, and the forts are built out of, you know, the wood, and they have the little, like the pointy top to them. You know what I'm talking about? Well, he just gave me this brief vision, and he showed me that as we praise and worship, we're building a fort around this place in the Spirit. We are constructing, call it protection. Now, there, if you could see into the realm of the Spirit, you wouldn't literally see wood planks. You understand what I mean? He was using that to illustrate to me what's happening when we praise and the fort is not complete. In fact, it's not even half done. It's not even one-fourth done. It's not even one-fifth done. It might be one-tenth done. I don't know what he showed me. Does that mean that we have problems? Well, no. It just means that the more we praise and worship, the more this thing's going to be built. But that symbolism isn't simply for this congregation as a church. It is also for every single person as well. As he's been ministering to me about this, there are some of you guys, I don't mean everybody, but some of you, I mean, you've been fighting the same stinking battles for God knows how long. And I guess I would ask, aren't you tired of it? Aren't you tired of going through the same old, constantly? You go through something, and then it kind of eases up, and you think, oh, praise God, everything's fine. And then all of a sudden, there it is again. Do you realize that when this happens, and you go through I don't want to use the depression because too many people use that as a clinical word to describe some kind of real serious issue. But when you go through those down times, do you understand you're doing it by choice? You say, well, no, Brother Martin, you don't understand. I mean, I've got family problems. Okay, now, if family problems were the cause of this, then how come you don't get down when I have family problems? Or when he has family problems? Or when she has family problems? It doesn't get to you. Instead, I mean, you don't verbalize it, but you say, well, thank God that's not me. But it doesn't get you down. When it hits home, it gets you down. Why is that? Because it's by choice. It is by choice. See, here's the thing. The Bible said, now these are the words of God. He said, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And then we also read that fear hath torment. When you get down over a situation in your family, that is a form of fear because you are afraid there's not going to be a relief or an answer or a change. It's a form of fear. But when you know, who you are in God. The situations are going to come. Listen, you need to get it settled right now in your heart. Get it settled. That if you live to be 120 years old, you're going to have problems in life. That's not a negative confession. That's life in a fallen world. Things are going to happen. Challenges are going to arise. And odds are, sooner or later, there's going to be some kind of a family issue. Maybe not under your roof, but with aunts, uncles, cousins, grandmas, grandpas, nieces. I mean, somehow, some way, there's going to be somebody in the family. There's going to be an issue, and you're going to hear about it. Well, did you hear, cousin, Bob, he got divorced. Well, I didn't know they were having problems. Oh, great. You know, this is all we need. No, that's not great, and no, it's not what you need. And there are a lot of you are carrying burdens. Whatever the burdens would be relative to your family, your life. See, it's you don't carry burdens for somebody. Some people do. Somebody can't carry anybody's burden. They create their own burdens. You don't carry the burdens of other people's problems, but you do carry your own. And some of you are, I mean, at right this moment in this room, you're glad you're here because you know when you leave, you're going to be walking right back into what? The same old mess. Okay, and if you decide to get down over that same, oh, I dread going home. Why do you dread going home? Well, because, and then you say why. You know what? That feeling of down, call it depression, call it whatever you want to call it, but that feeling is a choice. It is a choice because you see, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And He gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory. And He gives us the peace that passes all understanding. All of this is in the Word of God. It is for us as the children of God. So when we replace all of that with worry, fear, whatever word you want to use, we are actually denying the completed work of Jesus Christ. And those feelings of exasperation. I know what I'm describing is not a daily life with some goofy smile on your face that makes people think, what drugs are you on? I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is I am not going to let feelings of what, however you describe it, defeat, loss, fear, whatever, I'm not going to let that govern my life. Now, I'm concerned about this situation, but I'm not going to let those feelings dictate my life because my spirit, who I am in Christ, cannot produce those feelings. Please let that sink in. Your spirit cannot, now I'm not talking about the holy fear of God, the reverential fear, I understand that, and that's proper. But your spirit cannot produce worldly fear, the kind of stuff that you battle. And there are some of you in here, the reason this is happening is because you're just not praising God. Let me share something with you the Lord was showing me yesterday. When you fuss and complain, and then complain and fuss. Then, when you're done doing that, you fuss and complain, and then murmur about stuff, about situations, about people, about this, about that, about the other. And you guys know what I'm talking about. Even if you don't do it, you know what I'm talking about. He said, when you do that, you are telling Satan where the weak areas of your life exist. You're telling him, I can't stand it when she does that. Really? Then I'll just motivate her to do that some more. And then I'll make sure I point it out to you. See that? You see that, right? Doing it again. Yeah. I can't stand it. Oh, I hate it when. Oh, I just. Oh, oh. And when you start and you begin running your mouth, you are telling Satan, here are the weak areas in my life. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how we're going to pay these bills. I don't know what. You just revealed there's a weak area in your life, fear over finances. You just revealed to him. You've given him the clues on how to attack you. But now here's the thing. If you're a praiser, then what's going to be coming out of your mouth? Praise. And when praise is coming out of your mouth, you can't clue the devil in to the weak area, now can you? Listen to me. Some of you here, and you know, I don't know who all is out there watching and so forth, but I'm telling you right now, some of you guys, look, you're battling stuff and you're going through emotional whatever. You shouldn't be doing this. You need to get over it. Because, I was going to ask if I can be blunt, but you know I will anyway. It just might be there are some people around here who tolerate it, but they're tired of hearing it. They're tired of hearing you bellyache, fuss, and complain about every stinking thing that's wrong in your life, in your family, in your job, in your this, in your that. Tired of it. You know why? Because in the Bible, the Word of God says that we are supposed to minister to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and we are supposed to edify each other, and we are supposed to encourage each other, and we are supposed to support each other. That is the Word of God. But when you don't do that, when you become the bellyacher, it's one thing to share a prayer request. I understand that, and it's perfectly all right to do that. We're encouraged to do that. How can we pray for one another over situations if we don't know what they are? So it's one thing to share a prayer request, but when you go on and on and on, and on and on and on about all the stuff. Number one, you're telling Satan where to keep attacking you because that's a weak area. You've made no real effort to strengthen yourself in that area. You're not putting on the armor of God. And yes, you can attack me because I will always succumb to the attacks in that area. You're not declaring the truth of who God is to you. The problems are real. We're not sticking our head in the sand and saying it doesn't exist. It does exist. We do face them. But what I'm sharing with you right now, this is the key for some of you to break through. This is the key for you to go beyond all that emotional stuff. All that worry, all that fear, those are imaginations. And the Bible tells us to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I'm here to tell you right now, one of the best ways to do that is to praise the Lord. One of the best ways to do that is to worship Him. See, I can pray for you, but there are a lot of people who are too dependent on the prayers of others and not dependent enough on Jesus Christ. Well, that sounds like a contradiction. Oh, it's not. Listen, this may sound kind of weird to some people. You know what you need to do more than you need me to pray for you? You need to learn how to praise. You need to learn how to open your mouth and worship the Lord. That's what you need to do. That I'm telling you, that's what you need to do. Now, there's some people hearing this, and you're feeling a little conviction. And I'm glad you are. Not because I'm trying to make you feel guilty, but what I'm trying to do is help you understand here is a solution. And for some people, this is the solution. I'm trusting God. Are you really? Yes, I am. You're sure? I am. All right, then why aren't you praising Him? Why aren't you praising Him? You know, I can remember when I was a kid, I wanted to be cool. And what I've learned is that one of the most disgusting things that you can do, no matter what age, is to refuse to praise God when you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, parents, you need to be setting the example, and quite frankly, if you are not instructing your children concerning praise and worship, you're failing. Don't you criticize my parentage. I bless God will. If you're not doing it in the way it lines up with the Word of God, then as the shepherd of this congregation, I have the God-ordained right to point it out. So don't come fussing to me about your kids and how they're acting like a bunch of yahoos if you're not doing your part. What do you want me to do? I know what you want me to do. You want me to take them out back and give them a good old whooping. Like, that's going to change anything. You can't. There's a limit to what a whooping can do. And you kids that are here, look, sooner or later, I want to tell you right now, I'm telling you, if you do not start worshiping now, you're going to have more problems in life.
Well, you're just old. Yeah,
I'm glad you mentioned that. You're right. But you know what's come with that? For some of you, between 40 and 50 more years of experience with Jesus Christ and God and His Word. And I know what I'm talking about. And I can tell you right now, a lot of the garbage that I went through in life would have been settled. I would never have gone, I'd never have faced it if I had just been uncool to my friends, but cool to Jesus Christ and praised. And you guys need to get over yourselves. I was almost ready to say something that wouldn't be appropriate here in this congregation, in this sermon, but I'll say it like this. Phooey on your friends and their attitude. Phooey on them. Forget them. And other things. And I'm serious. Why are you letting your friends control your life? Adults do the same stupid thing. You bring guests into church with you, and all of a sudden you don't remember how to praise.
Well, I don't want to offend my family.
Offend them! Why did you invite them? Offend the stink out of them. Praise and... You know what? I heard a story about a church up in Detroit. For 7 years, they had... And they didn't plan this. It just happened. It just happened. For 7 years, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they were having... It was focused on prayer, but people sometimes, they'd also begin praising and so forth. And so many... I don't know how big the building was at the time. It wasn't a huge building. Might have been smaller than this one, or might have been just a little bit larger. But there were so many people that showed up, and they were there so much... Now, this is going to sound gross, but it's true. They actually had to, every now and then, stop people from coming in so they could come in and treat the air in the sanctuary. It was stinking so bad from all the breath. I'm serious. There were reports of men who would get off their jobs at the factory. Like, say they were working, I don't know, whatever, and they would call, they'd come to the church and use the phone in the foyer and say, call home and say, I'm going to pray for a little bit before I come home. And they'd end up praying all night long. All night long. Praise, I'm telling you right now, this is the breakthrough key that some people need and that this congregation needs. Hey, we're further along than most churches. Way further along than most churches. In 2 Chronicles, you don't have to turn to it. In fact, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 29. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And there are some of you, you need to hear teaching on this over and over and over again, and over and over and over again, until you finally get so fed up with hearing it that you do it, and then once you do it, you're going to realize, oh boy, so this is the deal. Hey, this is cool. People want to, I want to experience God. You know what? Praise and worship is going to take you into a place of experiencing God unlike anything else. You'll experience the presence of God in a way that you can't through praying in the Spirit or the Word or anything else. If we had spent all this morning praying in the Spirit, we'd have never experienced what we experienced at the beginning of this service. It's the worship. It's the praise that does it. Some of you need to get over your feelings of, woe is me, what am I going to do? I don't know how much more I can take. I'm sick and tired of this. And you need to get over that, and you need to start praising. And one of the things that you need to do is mortify your flesh of self-consciousness, mortify your flesh of feeling sorry for yourself and all that, and you need to come up front here and praise God. It's symbolic of separating yourself from all of the junk to focus on Jesus Christ. Again, there's nothing special. There's no extra anointing up here. But it's symbolic of separation and commitment and consecration unto the Lord. And I'm going to praise, and I'm going to do this. In 2 Chronicles, it's the story of how these armies were going to invade and invade or attack the Jews. Don't turn to 2 Chronicles. Stay right here in Genesis. And Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do. He said, God, you know, we can't handle this. We can't stand against these armies. And then there was a word that came forth, and the word came forth from one of the sons of Asaph, a descendant of Asaph. Asaph, as you know, was one of the praisers and one of the worshipers, and he actually wrote some of the Psalms. And in this word that came forth, you're not going to have to worry about this. You're not going to have to fight. God's going to fight this for you. Jehoshaphat, it says he consulted with the people. That doesn't mean he took up a vote. What it means is he explained to the people what we're going to do. And the people were praising and worshiping God as a result of that prophetic word that came forth. Then, on the day that they were to go out and meet the enemy armies, they sent the praisers first. It was the tribe of Judah. They sent the praisers first. And they won that battle. We'll talk all about that more later on. Not today, later on. And so we talk about Judah. And we talk about how, well, you know, Judah, that's the tribe of the praisers and the tribe, you know, Judah. Send Judah first and the battle will be won. That was a song that we sang years ago. So I got to thinking, you know, well, where'd Judah come from? I mean, we say that this name, Judah, means praise, but does it really? So I looked it up. And sure enough, Judah means praise or praised. But Judah, in the Greek, I mean, in Hebrew, it does mean to praise. But now, okay, hallelujah. Now we know for sure that's exactly what that word means. But where does it come from? Well, look here in Genesis chapter 29, verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, and you'd have to read several chapters to understand what's going on here, but he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah, now this is Jacob's wives here. And Jacob, his name was changed to what? Israel. And Leah conceived and bare a son. She called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. Now look at this. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. Her praise was restored. Now will I praise the Lord. And I am so caught up in this that I'm actually going to name my son Praise. Now will I praise the Lord. And this is where some of you are, some of you here, some of you watching, some of you listening to this. You need your praise restored. You need it restored. Now some of you, you really don't need much restored. Well, hallelujah for that. Take it to another level. Go deeper in it. But there are some of you, you have allowed a bunch of junk in life to become like anchors. And look, just me. When I'm around and I hear people fuss and complain and the murmur and all that kind of stuff going on, in my mind I'm thinking, you know, if you're a part of this church, and I've been here since 1999, February 21st, 1999, and you've heard all this teaching and you're still doing this, do you realize what you just told me? There ain't nothing sinking in. Now that's not true, some is. But you're really not applying what you hear. And again, I'm not trying to stomp on anybody's toes. What I'm saying, look, do you realize that this church, even in this building, has the potential to change this region? Even though nobody may ever know we're here. Now, what I mean by that is, out of the general population, we have the ability to impact things on a spiritual level in this region that will bring about revival. Even if not all the people are coming here, but we can still do it. We have the potential to do great things for God. But if we aren't going to enter into this area of praise, look, some of you need relief. You need it. But more than relief, you need release. Remember I shared with you years ago, well, not years, I don't remember how long ago it was, how that the Lord impressed upon, he spoke to me one time, he said, there are people who praise me for relief, and there are those who praise me for release. The people that praise for relief, you know, you can take pain medication, but pain medication won't fix a toothache. It will only mask the pain. It will give you temporary relief. And if you got a bad toothache, thank God for it. Because when you've got a bad toothache, you don't care what they want to give you. I'll swallow it. I don't care. Give me that pill. I just want the pain to be gone. And I've had problems, teeth problems in the past. I've had all kinds of root canals, and I don't want to go into all the detail because you would start hurting for me. But one of the things that they will do when you have a root canal, often they'll give you not just pain medication, but they'll give you medication to kill infection, and they warn you, now look, after a couple of days, you're going to start feeling better, but we still need to do this. All we've done is dealt with what's going on now, but we haven't fixed the problem. Pain medication will only deal with the symptoms you're going through, but it doesn't fix the toothache. You have to go back in and have the drilling or the whatever to get the toothache fixed. A lot of people praise God for relief of the emotions. Well, it'll work temporarily, and for some of you, that's what you've done. You've praised God for relief of the emotions, and it has felt so good. I felt this lift. I felt this, oh, and I feel so much better. And glory for it. I mean that. Praise God for it. However, there's another level. That's when you praise God and you say, I am casting the care of this over onto you, and I don't want it back. I'm not going to worry about this anymore. I'm not. You said for me to cast all my care over onto you. I hope you're ready. Because I got some stuff I'm going to cast over on you. And he's just up there saying, bring it on. If anybody can handle it, he can. You can praise him for release to let it go. And when you praise him for release, you can let it go permanently and dominate those emotions. Here we see in Genesis, this is where Judah came for. This is the way it started. And turn over to Judges chapter 1. Her praise was restored. And there are so many people in the body of Christ, they need their praise restored. But you know what? They're, wherever they are, that's where they are. They're not here. They're not a part of this church like those of you in person and those of you by internet. You're a part of this congregation. This is what we're focusing on. I'm trying to help you guys here. I'm trying to help you get past where you've been, but I'm also trying to help us collectively as a congregation. We need this. We need this. We need this. You know the story of what happened when Israel came out of Egypt. God raised up Moses. And Moses, you know the story of going before Pharaoh and all that. And then finally, all the plagues, and Israel was finally released. And they crossed over the sea, and Pharaoh's armies were destroyed. The first thing they did, the Jews, they began to praise and worship the Lord. Well, time went on. And eventually, Moses died. Well, as you know in the story, God told Moses to appoint Joshua to be the next leader. And Moses did that in front of all the people so the people would know that this anointing, this mantle, this responsibility had been passed on to Joshua from Moses by God's instruction. So Joshua became the leader of Israel. Well, time went on and eventually Joshua died. And when Joshua died, the people were really concerned and very upset. They didn't know what they were going to do. But let's take a look here. In Judges chapter 1, begin reading in verse 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, look at this, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. Not into your hand, Israel, not into all 12 tribes' hands. I have delivered the land. I have delivered defeat of the enemy into the hands of Judah. And who was Judah? Praise. I have delivered the victory into the hands of praise. And there are some of you, you've been experiencing a whole lot of defeat. And I'm telling you right now, from this day forward, every person in this room is going to be facing an opportunity for defeat. That's just the way it is. Judah is your key. Judah is your key. There are a lot of you in here. A lot, that's a relative term, okay? There are those in here. Man, you guys, you need to break through with this. You need to. Some of you have been around me when we've gone out in public, maybe to a restaurant or whatever the case would be. Even here, when we have our fellowship times, like downstairs in the fellowship hall,
And if you've noticed, I'm not exactly the most vocal person. Anybody ever notice that? Now, up here I am. Yeah, he's like, seriously, you want us to believe that? I mean, come on. Up here I am. Up here I am. But in a public situation, there have been times where people we've been with, they'll ask, is everything okay? Yeah, everything's fine. You sure? Yeah. Well, you're just not saying much. Or they might look at me and they say, well, you're kind of quiet today, Brother Jim. Or, is everything going okay? Are you sure everything is going okay? There are even times when Kathy and I will be out going places and she'll say, are you mad at me? Did I do something to upset you? No, everything's fine. Everything's fine. That's because my tendency is to be quiet and not say much. I have, verbal spurts every now and then. But generally speaking, this is why I say that Kathy is the personality of our relationship, because she's the outgoing one. She's the talker. She's the get around and say hello to everybody. Me, I'm the guy that just sits and watches her say hello to everybody. Now, I agree. I, as a pastor, yeah, okay, I should work on that. I'm not going to argue that point at all. But what I'm getting at is, as people would typically describe it, my natural tendency is to be quiet. But when I'm in here, I open my mouth, I lift my hands, I praise the Lord. I come toward the front, and there are times when my legs start to get tired. I'll sit down for a few minutes, then I get back up. Because after all, pre-service worship, then praise and worship, then a sermon, twice on a Sunday, these legs get tired after a while. So, yeah, I take a little bit of a rest, but then I get back up. But in other words, what I'm saying is, you're seeing me do what I don't typically do. Now, you can say, well, y'all, you're the pastor. Well, yeah, I am. And what's your point? You're telling me that until you become a pastor, you can't do this? Uh-uh. Now, don't even try to feed that to me. Right now, some of you are thinking, and you're thinking, okay, well, what? I don't even know fully what all you're thinking, but some of you are facing some challenges in this. What I'm telling you is, this whole thing of praise, it is a key to a breakthrough for you as an individual. Well, let me say it this way, for dramatic effect. Forget everybody else in your life for a moment. Forget about them. Forget about the kids and the neighbors and the husband and the this and the wife and the man. Forget about them. Just, do you hear me? Forget about them. Why? Because on the day of judgment, they're going to be nowhere to be found. It's going to be you and God. That's it. Just the two of you. And you're not going to be able to say, well, these kids, oops, where'd they go? It's just going to be the two of you. For a moment, forget about them. Because they aren't doing anything to facilitate your spiritual growth unless they are growing spiritually. You follow what I'm saying? They're not doing you any good. You need to focus on yourself and what praise is going to do for you. Now, somebody would say, well, he said, forget all about your family and just dump them out the front door. No, I didn't say that. You guys know exactly what I am talking about. You know. Your family cannot worship for you. Your family, look, what if they never change? What if they don't? What if they stay, whatever they are, from now on? What if? What if? Right now there are some of you, you are allowing a family member or family members become the barrier between you and God. Because you're so focused on what they're doing or what they're not doing, and you're allowing the worry and the care and all that other stuff to become a vital part of your life. You can't praise when you're doing that, but you can praise your way out of it.
You say, well, Brother Martin, but you don't understand the family problems.
Yeah, well, you know what? I could stand here for quite a while and tell you about some family problems I've gone through. I don't mean with Kathy. I just, you know, family. But what's the purpose? What's the purpose? How would you gain from me standing up here and saying,
let me tell you about my cousin, and let me tell you about my aunt, and let me tell you about my sister, and my brother, and my mom, and my dad.
I'm not saying I had problems with all those people. What I'm saying is, how do you benefit? You benefit more when I praise God. And through my praise, I help and do my part to usher in the presence of God. Does this mean that you completely ignore your family forever? No, but here's the thing. When you begin to praise God, the change that takes place in you facilitates your ability to help them more effectively. If you're a bellyacher and complainer, how are you going to help them? What you want to grab them and shake them and slap them in the head and poke them in the eyes and do all kinds of Three Stooges stuff to them. You know, just blap, blap, slap, mat. Why won't you change? Why won't you change? Why? You know what? At that moment, they've got every right to point their finger at your nose and say, why won't you? Now, they're kind of out of order for doing that. But you understand the concept I'm presenting to you. Because, see, if you were praising, and if you were a praiser, your approach would be different. Doesn't mean your appreciation of the situation would be any better. But your approach would be different. Hey, I'm like you. Let me tell you something. You pastor long enough and you encounter people in the church that you want to shake. Why won't you change? But you don't do that. Some of you are thinking, well, why not, Pastor? Let me help you. I'll hold them. You shake them and slap them. What I'm sharing with you is a key for a breakthrough, and anybody can do it. There's so much more in this that we're going to cover. Maybe halfway through what I thought I was going to cover this morning, but we've come to the time that for me to close this off, this part off. Next time we're together, I will be reviewing a little bit, and then we're going to be moving forward. Guys, I'm telling you, I don't know what you're going through. Whatever your age is, you could be 6, 7, 60 or 70, 90, it doesn't matter what the age is. This is a breakthrough key. I've already seen things to this point in Scripture that I hadn't seen before concerning praise and worship that I'm going to be sharing with you. This is absolutely critical. Absolutely critical. I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to cut you down. I'm trying to help you see that really, another way to say this, we talk about, well, you know, you've let your praise and worship slip. Satan's influenced you to do this. He's influenced you by virtue of junk that's come along in your life. Listen, you may have kids that act up from now till who knows when, but that can't be the anchor to your praise. You may have a husband or a wife that, remember the sermon here not too long ago about dealing with a jerk? Well, you may have a husband or wife that just stays a jerk the rest of their life. What are you going to do? If you let that control your praise, what you're doing is you're telling Satan, you got a handle on me, and you can jerk it anytime you want, and I'll do what you want. I'll show up at church. There are some of you, you've walked in here before, and I can tell. You're probably not going to worship because your attitude's coming through your face. I can see it. It's there. You don't think anybody can tell. Guess what? We can. It's there. Look, as a pastor, let me say it like this. As the pastor, I don't have the liberty to be like that. But the truth of the matter is, as a believer in Christ, I shouldn't be like that no matter what. Do you know what I mean? Everybody thinks the pastor's got to be the everything. Okay, well, praise the Lord. We got to set the example. I know that. I understand. But it's got to be more than an act. It needs to be life. It needs to be life. But here's the thing. Just because you're not a pastor, it doesn't mean that it's not supposed to be like that for you. It is supposed to be like that for you. It's supposed to be life. I'm hoping this sinks in. I'm hoping this sinks in. We're going to get into more of this later on. But the one thing I do want to say here in closing is this. You have absolutely got to press past the flesh that says, I don't want to. You've got to get past that. You have to, because that's the only thing that's holding you back. Satan can't hold you back. When you want to praise God, he can't stop you. He can't. God's sure not going to stop you. Praise is always in order. The only person that stops you is you. When you yield to the flesh and the emotions. So here's what we're going to do in closing. I want everybody to stand and come up here. And we're going to cordially invite Miss Alice to come down here and join us as well.
Yes, but Brother Martin, if she comes down, how can she play the piano?
You don't get it, do you? You don't have to have the instruments. See, a lot of people, and I understand this, okay? I really do, the apprehension to praise God, because, see, that's what I had to fight in my own life. I was so self-conscious. I don't want to do this. I just didn't want to. I had to fight against my natural tendency to be quiet. I had to fight that. I had to beat me up, figure of speech, and force myself to do this. Well, see, now I've done it so much that I want to. Hey, look, guys, I'm like some of you. When I come in here, there are times when I am dog tired. And I really, in me, I just don't want to. I'd really like to take a nap. Seriously. Like some of you do when I preach. I don't. You thought I didn't notice. I thought you were in prayer. Yeah, right. No, I had to fight past me. So I do understand what it's like. And I do understand, you know, the hesitancy to come front. And it's not an order to come forward. It's not. And again, there's no special anointing up front. But it's like a declaration. I don't care what I feel like, and I don't care what's going on, and I don't care what I've been thinking about me. You know what? I'm going to separate myself from stuff, and I'm going to come up here, and I'm going to praise God. And I'm not going to think you lost your salvation if you don't come up. But see, this is part of taking that step to break free from all that stuff. And I don't care who sees me. You know, I'm just going to praise God. I'm going to do that. And what we're going to do right now, just not for a whole long time, we're going to praise God. And what that means is you will be opening your mouth and just saying, I love you, Jesus. I praise you. I thank you for my salvation. I thank you for loving me. I glorify you. I bless your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, Father, I love you. Jesus, I praise you. I glorify you. Jesus, I thank you for my salvation. I magnify you, Jesus. I praise you. You're my Savior. You're my healer. You're my deliverer. You are the joy of my salvation. I bless you and I honor you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise and honor to you, Jesus. I honor you. I glorify you. I bless your holy name. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. I honor you. I honor you. I bless you. I glorify your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you. You are holy. You are wonderful. You are glorious. I bless your holy name. I thank you that my name is written in your book of life. Thank you for salvation, Jesus. I honor you. I love you. I praise you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, that you are my Father. I love you. I praise you. I honor you. I glorify you, Jesus. I worship you.
I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord Jesus. I praise you. I glorify your name. Glory and honor to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to you, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, as we were doing this, I didn't look around and take notes. Okay, she is, he's not, they aren't. Oh boy, he's really messed up over there. No, I didn't do that. And I'll just share this, you know, parents, I encourage you. Train up your children the way they should go. What we just did here, you can do it at home for about at least 15, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, just, you know, to encourage your kids to do this. This isn't the last time we're going to do this. This is training, if you will, and preparation. Praise God. And I want to encourage you, make this something that you do at home. Just on occasion do it. While you're driving, Jesus, I praise you. I love you. I thank you for my salvation. Hallelujah. My helper. I want to see, this isn't legalism, and this isn't just some kind of religious something. This is for us to have a breakthrough so that God's will can be completed in our lives. And not just as us, in us as individuals, but in this entire congregation. And as we go through this, and I'm showing you more and more from Scripture, you're going to see that really, praise and worship, it is a command from God to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and dismiss. Hey, look. Hi, sweetie. Look at you. Oh, yeah. Look at that. That's laying hands on her. Hallelujah. Hey, look at it. Here they go. We're going to go ahead and dismiss. We'll continue this next week. And again, here's my position. This is my declaration. We're going to have a breakthrough.
Amen.
And I don't even know what all that means, but I say it's going to happen.